You're listening to the Simo and Jordan podcast. If listening persists, please see your therapist. Well, it's obviously too late for him. He's been listening far too long.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
It's Simo and Jordan right here with you.
And Simo, I want to talk about paramedics. They are the most amazing human beings alive.
Yeah, it's pretty stressful as well, you'd imagine.
I think we can all agree that they do an unbelievable job. An invention has been invented over in the UK, which may help save lives and, well, I reckon at least, may make paramedics look even cooler.
Oh, it's a fashion. It's somehow fashion orientated and gonna save lives.
Yes, weirdly, yes.
Okay. Is it some kind of hat?
There is a hat involved. More a helmet, though.
It's a helmet. Like Iron Man? Like, is it a full suit type scenario?
You're not far off, all which right. is weird. A UK inventor has invented a jet suit.
Wow.
For paramedics.
Oh, wait, no way. Are they going to fly? No way.
Well, that's kind of his idea.
Right.
So it's got a jetpack on plus other jet suity type things.
Yeah.
It dead set looks like Iron Man, like
right.
you said.
Yeah.
And they've got a helmet on as well. The idea being where this guy lives is in the UK. It's in a park called the Lake District, which is very hilly, very mountainous.
Northern, I think.
Yeah, northern. Actually, now I think about it, probably not too dissimilar to the Kosciuszko National Park.
Yeah.
Very similar. And the idea is often people get in trouble out in the wilderness and, you know, you can't really drive up to see them. There are areas that are like a 25-minute walk and that's the only way that you can get to them. With this jetpack invention, he claims that a 25-minute walk you could do in just 90 seconds, getting to the person that needs help obviously a lot quicker and potentially saving their life.
That's phenomenal if true.
Yes.
Big if true.
Well, you know how there's that. What's that in the sky? Is it a bird? Is it a plane? No, it's Superman.
It kind of is.
Yeah, I know. Can we just get them to wear a cape and a big S on their chest whenever they wear this? And then it'll kind of will be.
I feel like the suit scenario, there's obviously jet, like you say, other jet packy things involved.
More technical than that. We're just not going into details. Andy Mawson is his name, the guy who's inventing this. He did an interview with the BBC. It's like, oh yeah, we just put jet packy things on it. Yeah, perfectly safe. Off you go.
Fly uppity.
Fly, my pretty.
Yeah, because I imagine he's going to make sure that obviously it's still not going to restrict your movement again. Because otherwise, you can make the flight time quicker.
Yeah.
But then, like, there's a lot of other stuff that surely goes into it.
Yeah, well, with jetpacks, I mean, we see them in the movies and on video games and whatever, and they look amazing and you hover around, and then we see the ones in real life and they're just a bit crap.
Yeah, a bit clunky. Also, like, really large.
Have you seen the ones with the water spout? They kind of...
The hydrogen power.
Yeah, the hydrogen power thing. I mean, if you're in a big body of water, you can kind of hover 10 feet or so above it, but there's a massive hose connecting you to the water, and you can only go for like 30 seconds and then it loses power.
Well, you did say this was in the Lake Country, is that right?
The Lake District.
Right.
Lake District in the UK.
Well, there you go. It's probably the scenario.
So
there's water...
Just because it's called the Lake District doesn't mean there's lakes. I mean,
really?
Okay, well, then maybe. I don't know. I've never been. But
are you backing a place that's called the Lake Country?
The Lake District.
Are you backing a place that is called the Lake District to have no bodies of water? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm not suggesting that it has none. But, you know, I'm sure there's somewhere in the world called Donut Land and it's not filled with donuts, unfortunately.
Well, one of those definitely can facilitate a jetpack. We know that much.
And the other one, I will be needing a paramedic because I've eaten so many donuts, I feel unwell.
Simo and Jordan.
We are notoriously some of the poorest mathematicians out there.
Yes, I will agree with that.
Yeah, but we play the odds, though. We hit the mark, you know? We like get...
We take a guess.
We get close.
2 + 2. I think that's somewhere around the 4 mark.
Yeah, not bad.
Could be wrong.
But we're nowhere near as bad as these guys. These guys are shocking.
Okay, well, this is going to fill me with confidence.
Right, in a shocking incident, 4 Delhi police officers have confiscated 160 kilograms of cannabis.
Okay, right. So far not seeing the link with maths.
160, remember the number.
Okay.
All right, 160 kilograms. Keep that in mind. It's like one of those brain teasers that you see on your Facebook page, like, get out of my face. All right, so 160 kilograms of cannabis. That's what they confiscated. Mm-hmm. Allegedly reporting only 1 kilogram to their office.
Ah. I don't know whether that's so much a maths issue.
Well, it's definitely a maths problem.
It's definitely a problem. We can agree on that.
Oh, dear, these guys.
Cops is filmed on location with the men and women of law enforcement. All suspects are innocent until proven guilty in a court of law.
Sitting down to watch this episode, definitely.
Well, I mean, innocent until proven guilty. I mean, we're all jumping to the one conclusion about how this... You know, how they lost so much cannabis.
So the four cops, including two sub-inspectors and two head constables from the police station, conducted a raid in which 160 kilograms of marijuana was confiscated. The peddler was also arrested, but police reported the man was let off after there were potentially some bribes thrown around. And the bribe allegedly given to settle the matter outside the purview of the law.
Mm.
But I did a quick percentage check on how much that the police actually reported to their head office.
Okay.
So 160 kilograms is how much they confiscated.
Yep.
And they reported only getting 1 kilogram. Now, they have done just 0.63% of the right thing. The other 99.3%, they have done bad boy
things. Well, they should just, you know, live their life as optimists, you know? Well, we're 0.061 or whatever it was, the right thing, so...
We came close to getting it right.
Next time we'll try and break the 1% mark.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And Simo, I guarantee when I read you the headline of this news story, it will make you smile.
All right, I'm keen.
A British zoo has said five parrots were removed from public display after they spent their time in quarantine together teaching each other to swear.
Oh, that is so good. Ah, dear.
I mean, not if you're like a parent of a child who is coming to the zoo and you get told to bleep off by a parrot.
But it's the same thing in schools. There's always the parents saying there's just one bad apple who's teaching them all. Same thing with these parrots. They've spent time together in quarantine.
Yeah.
And there's clearly one parrot that knows a few more words than the rest of them.
All right, I've got their names here. Just going from their name alone, let me know who you think of the bad apple is.
Oh, that's so good.
So they are African grey parrots.
Okay.
They're named Eric, Jade, Elise, Tyson, and Billy. I reckon it's Tyson.
Probably Tyson.
I reckon it's Tyson's.
It's not the girl. Say the names again for me.
Eric, Jade, Elise, Tyson, and Billy.
Yeah. Look, Jade might be a bit of a potty mouth, might be a bit of filth, but I think it's probably Tyson.
I reckon it's Tyson, and then Billy's like his offsider.
Yeah, true, very true.
Billy's like the Robin to his Batman, and if then, that makes sense.
Yeah, Jade kind of likes.
And then Eric's just over there with Jade and Elise. Just loving
like,
life.
Yeah, and Jade kind of like really likes Tyson, so wants to seem cool, so like goes along with it. And then Eric's just like, guys, stop. No, we can't do this.
And then Tyson's like, hey, guys, guess what? When they were transporting me to the zoo, the driver of the van dropped something on his foot and he said this word.
He said this.
It started with an F.
So good. What's the future? What does their future hold?
Well, before we get to that, I've got some quotes from the zoo's chief executive.
I want some quotes from the parrots.
We can't do them in this time slot.
Oh, filthy.
I think you can probably guess what the quotes would be.
They're
definitely not Polly want a cracker.
Right, okay.
They might be Polly want a cracker.
Yes, shiitake mushrooms, focaccia maybe involved, lots of different food stuff.
Definitely, definitely. The zoo's chief executive, his name is Steve Nichols.
Hmm.
He is on record giving an interview saying, it just went ballistic. They were all swearing. And we were concerned about the children that come and visit the zoo.
How good. All right.
So they've put the birds into a separate quarantine and hoping that giving them some time alone will give them an opportunity to clean up their language, forget about the swear words, learn some new, happier, family-friendly words that they can say, and then they'll be put back on display.
So they've put them in time out.
More or less, yes.
Put them in
they're
time
in
out.
The naughty spot.
They put them in timeout and they're all watching the Wiggles or they're all watching Teletubbies. So they'd rather the parrots speak gibberish then swear.
I mean, let's face it, no one's going to a zoo to hear animals talk. No one's going, oh, that
are you kidding? If you advertise to me, come to this zoo because the animals speak.
Okay, yeah, no fair.
I am there with bells on.
Yeah, but I had to break it to you. Mm. It's not going to happen. You're not going to go and see the lions and just go, yeah, morning, hello, welcome to the zoo.
Not if every time.
Make sure you go see the tigers. They're being fed at 2:30. It's wonderful.
not if they keep putting them in time out every time that they exercise their freedom of speech. No wonder they don't speak.
Oh, here we go. Parrots have a... This is... They're exercising their freedom of speech.
Yeah, they...
Can't say anything in the world now.
Yeah, can you see? That's... They are being held down by the man. That's not on.
Well, to Eric, Jade, Elise, Tyson and Billy, the African grey parrots, if you do feel you are being held down, please feel free to give us a call.
Oh, goodness.
We may pre-record it because we may have to censor
it. That's right, that's true.
Simo and Jordan.
A team of mechanics at a car dealership had to disassemble an entire dashboard and front of a vehicle to rescue a kitten.
Right.
Yep. To save the kitten from the inner workings of the vehicle. Here they are in what was an interesting moment in the workplace.
This morning at Tyndale Nissan, we got a phone call from a customer that had rescued a cat, and then the cat ended up inside its dashboard. So we're here now watching Dave Tucker, Master Tech, doing his dangest to get this cat out. So here we go.
I then spent 4 minutes watching these people deattach front of a vehicle.
Is that how long it took? Only 4 minutes?
Yeah, well, these guys, they're clearly, I don't know if it was maybe a chop shop and the fact that it's a mechanic might just be a cover, but they were quite good at what they do.
Right. Did it take them longer than 4 minutes to put it all back once the cat had been, I assume, safely removed?
Well, that's what I wonder, because the video stops right at the end. They save the cat. The car's in pieces.
Bye. Well, have a good afternoon.
They retrieve the feline. I'm like, well, what? I was like, at the end, I was like, what happens next? It was a big cliffhanger.
So you called us to get the cat out?
Yeah.
We've got the cat out.
So I'm thinking, maybe something, you know, really disastrous or a bit contentious happened after they saved the cat.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they took the cat in their arms and waltzed down the street to the nearest fire station to, like, yell obscenities at the fireys about how they're superfluous to their needs. No one needs firemen to save cats anymore. Just bring them to the local mechanic.
I mean, that seems very aggressive.
See this? We saved this cat. What were you doing, huh? Where was your ladder? Where was your... What are you... You got your hose out? What are you doing this morning?
Fast forward to tomorrow. There's a cat stuck in a car and the car's somehow up a tree. Yeah, and it's like, you need the ladder now, don't you?
Yeah. Touché.
Look, I don't want to go out on a limb here or stuff, but I doubt that these mechanics, when they retrieved the cat, I doubt the first thing they did was go and abuse some firefighters.
How well they saved this kitten.
I mean, they might have done, don't get me wrong, but I don't think they did.
Did it completely without the jaws of life, mate. Didn't need them.
And if they did go and abuse some firefighters, some other emergency service personnel would be getting involved, i.e. the police. The fireys would... That would be a weird fogle. Imagine if that actually happened.
You're driving past the fire station, like, there's a mechanic, a fireman and a policeman. There's not a bar in sight. You're very confused.
Now just imagine the call that the fireys had to make to the coppers. Just kind of, hello, it's the fire department here. Yes, can we get police? Yeah, there's some mechanics with a cat that are abusing us for some reason.
We're just going to put this up the chain to our constable. Mm. Just bear with me. Beep. Thank you.
Anyway, none of that actually happened apart from the cat getting rescued and living happily ever after, and whoever's car it was, well, they need to go see a mechanic now.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And Simo, it's Wednesday, which means it's time for this.
Combining the news resources of literally no one, this is the Simo and Jordan News Game.
Yes, Simo, it is the Simo and Jordan News Game. I've got some news grabs. I've bleeped out one word.
I hate this game.
Simo, all you have to do is tell me what the word is that is bleeped out.
Yeah.
You've got three questions. I think you got 3 out of 3.
I did.
Last week,
somehow.
Yeah.
But this game is actually very difficult. It's quite hard, as mentioned, because the news readers, they say their own words in there. They throw in their own kind of little flair.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they'll say introduction. Sometimes they'll say commence. Sometimes they'll say begin or start, depending on how they're feeling.
Some of the news readers are like a walking thesaurus.
Can you tell I'm frustrated about it?
Well, I mean, you got 3 out of 3 last week, so you should be happy and celebrating. You're on a roll. You're on good form. Let's see if you can do 3 out of 3 again today.
All right, come on. All right, question one.
And a brain-eating has been discovered in the water supply of a city in the US state of Texas.
It's not a virus. I did hear about this. It's a brain-eating bacteria.
And a brain-eating has been discovered.
Right, I'm going to go with a bacteria.
Bacteria, is that your final answer?
That's all right. I know it's risky, but I will have to go with it because science was never my strong suit.
And a brain-eating microbe. Water supply of a city in the US state of Texas.
Damn microbes.
I think we worked out that's half a point. Yeah. Like if you don't get the right word, but you're kind of more or less the same.
It's ballpark is what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm going to give it half a point. Do you have the right tick sound effect?
I do, but I'm not sure if I deserve it.
Give yourself half of it.
I don't want your pity.
No, the player, but a player, but yeah, there you go, faded down halfway through.
All right, question two.
The Prime Minister is addressing the UN General Assembly calling for...
Oh, hell, I don't know that one at all.
The Prime Minister is...
Jordan, he could be asking for anything.
He's the Prime Minister.
The UN General Assembly calling for...
Calling for calm. He could be calling for dollars.
I admit...
The Prime Minister is addressing the UN General Assembly calling for...
Oh,
I admit it's a challenging one.
Could be calling...
But see, it's the Prime Minister. He's the most important, highly elected person in the land.
All right, so politics, it's about fossil fuels and it's about the budget. That's about...
and backstabbing, probably.
That's about it.
The Prime Minister is addressing the UN General Assembly calling for...
The United Nations General Assembly. What does he want from them? Oh, he might want a... he wants... If someone comes up with the... What do they call it? Not the syringe. They come
the
up
vaccine.
With the vaccine. They come up with a vaccine for COVID-19 that they should share it. I assume that might be ballpark what he's on about, but I have no idea.
The Prime Minister is addressing the UN General Assembly calling for...
Calling for cooperation?
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
The Prime Minister is addressing the UN General Assembly calling for global cooperation.
Yes! Thank you! Got one. We're on the board.
Technically, you didn't say global.
I don't have to because it's the United Nations and it is inferred that it was always going to be global.
Was it inferred? So if it was inferred, why did the newsreader say global?
I mean, clearly cooperation was the key bit of that. Also, you didn't tell me it was two words.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. Yeah, okay, well done.
Investigating after an 11-year-old boy from South Australia found in his strawberries.
What?
Police are investigating after an 11-year-old boy from South Australia found in his...
Have they started putting, like, pins in... Was that what they were doing back in the day, putting pins in strawberries and fruit? Was that happening?
I think it was happening ages ago. I cannot confirm nor deny whether it's happening again.
Needles and pins.
Strawberries. Police are investigating after an 11-year-old boy from South Australia found in his strawberries.
Oh, found something in his strawberries.
What?
I lived very close to a strawberry farm.
So you would know what is inside
not
strawberries.
Not a clue. Never stepped foot in there, but drove past it quite often. Let's go with that, because that's probably going to capture the nation's heart and minds.
Let's go with what's that? The fact that you lived near a strawberry farm when you were younger.
Yeah.
An 11-year-old kid from South Australia found Simo living near a strawberry farm when he was a kid inside a strawberry.
No, we're going to go
is
with...
Is that what your final answer is?
No, we're going to go with like a metal object, so needle, pin, that kind
I'm
of thing.
I'm going to need the exact.
Oh, is that because I'm on the right track?
I can neither confirm nor deny.
All right.
But I will need the exact
object. Is it two
object.
Words?
I can't remember. No, I don't think it is.
Okay. Needle, pin.
Or was it another?
Metal object.
I mean,
metal cylindrical object.
No one said it was cylindrical, mate. It could have been pentagonal.
Okay, not a clue. Let's just go with needle. Get this out of our system.
Police are investigating after an 11-year-old boy from South Australia found pins in his strawberries.
You should have said pins.
You only got one out of
three. Well, one and a half out of three. You're
yeah,
halfway there.
I feel like that's one and a half. No, I got two half points, so I got two out of three.
Just giving yourself a half point there.
Yeah, it's just a needle pin, and I just went 50-50 wrong, so...
Yeah, so like yeah, so you were wrong, exactly. It was a 50-50, and you got it wrong.
Sorry, I meant to say I got it half.
Oh, did you? Okay.
I got it half.
Let's get Judge Judy on this.
Simo and Jordan.
This is the end, but only of today's podcast. And remember, don't move toward the light.
No, go toward the light.
No, don't go toward the light.
You've got to go toward the light.
Don't listen to him.
Yes.
Shut up.
Right.
To hear Simo and Jordan live, join them for Takeaway on air weeknights from 7 across the Capital Radio Network.
Yeah. That should do it.